The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Of course, the unmistakable tones of Udo Dirkschneider. The band is Accept. The album is Metal Heart, and that is Midnight Mover. The album, Metal Heart, was released earlier this past week, back in 1985. Can you believe that? So it has been... my goodness, 39 years? Oof. I am old, but I love listening to old 80s metal. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I've talked about this before. I never knew. I never knew it or whatever, forgot about it. But Udo left Accept after the next album, Russian Roulette, back in 1986 or 87, and did his own thing from 87 on. I had totally forgotten that. I thought he was in the band until the early 90s and then left, but I was mistaken. It was 87. Amazing. Saw him after Accept once at the Starland Ballroom back in 2017? Amazing show. It was the last time he had done a whole suite of Accept songs. His son was playing drums. Just an awesome, awesome show. Anyway, coming up in 20 minutes, Johnny Ifergan. He is the co-founder and lead brewer behind Night Glow Beer out of Brooklyn, New York, is going to join me to talk about how the brewery started, why they only pour their beer out of loophole faucets, and a lot more. And it's really cool. Great story, great beer. Got a chance to meet him at the kickoff to New York City Beer Week a couple weeks ago in Brooklyn, and thrilled to be able to chat with Johnny, and definitely want to get to his place and try some more of his stuff in the near future. All right, so let's dive into some beer news, because there's plenty of it. Our good friends from Trogs have announced the release of Graffiti Highway. It's a juicy tropical IPA with a touch of haze that's prime for adventure, according to them. The brand new beer joins Perpetual IPA, Troganator Double Bock, Sunshine Pilsner, and more as part of the brewery's year-round offerings, inspired by an abandoned stretch of road that became a Pennsylvania landmark. Graffiti Highway IPA wanders off the beaten path, where twists and turns of citrus and tropical aromas merge into a colorful mosaic. Like many of Trog's beers, Graffiti Highway started as a series of test batches through the brewery's research and development brew house known as the Scratch Lab. The brewing manager for Trog's, Tim Mayhew, says the Scratch Lab is a three-barrel system and allows us to test hop combinations, times, and temperatures side by side. We're able to taste the nuances of these trials and find new inspirations. Each time we taste a pilot batch, it's like finding a new color of the rainbow, says Trog's co-founding brother and brewmaster, John Trogner, which is pretty cool. They worked with Pittsburgh-based muralist and designer Jules Despines to turn the road's colorful canvas into fun, funky label art. Notes of juicy citrus, tropical fruit, and a hint of mixed berry. Graffiti Highway speaks to the artistic spirit in everyone. Clocks in at 6% ABV, which is great. It'll be available on draft and in 12-ounce cans throughout Trog's entire distribution footprint. That started Monday of last week, so it's out there now. Now, riding alongside it is Graffiti Highway Double IPA. That's also available year-round. It's packaged exclusively in stovepipe cans, 19.2-ounce cans. The stamped-up version clocks in at 9.5% ABV, zigzags its way through intense fruit-forward flavors. I really do have to make a trip out to Trogs. There's so much good stuff that I have to try there. I keep saying it, and I'm going to make it happen sometime in the next few months. Pick a Saturday and drive out there and have a little bit of fun. Now, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters reached a five-year agreement, significantly raising pay, improving health care and retirement benefits, and providing critical job security for all 5,000 Teamsters at Anheuser-Busch breweries nationwide. The deal was ratified this past Tuesday, so the agreement is in place. It was voted on over over the course of just about a week. They get a significant job security for all 5,000 Teamsters at Anheuser-Busch, including brewers, packagers, and warehouse workers. Wage increases of $8 an hour, including an immediate $4 an hour raise in the first year. Average wage increases totaling 23% over the length of the agreement. They get a $2,500 ratification bonus for every member. An end to two-tier health care, providing all workers with the same high-quality Teamsters health care coverage. Increased pension contributions and benefits nationwide. Increased maximum vacation accrual to 8 paid weeks. That's pretty good. And restoration of retirement benefits for active and retired members. So kudos to the Teamsters Union for getting it done. They get a lot more security. They get more money, a bonus, the health coverage, all of it. And this is something that had, look, they were serious about what was going to happen. They were going to walk off the job if this didn't happen. Now you say, why does this mean something in craft beer? Well, it does, because Anheuser-Busch still is making some of these craft beers that are not technically craft, independent craft beer anymore, but still in the realm of craft beer. It's important to get that news out there. We don't want to just, you know, take one side of the story. This is important. So for those union members, kudos to them. The folks at Heavy Seas Beer, this was sent to me by Carolyn Sisson, the Heavy Seas Marketing Director. They have announced a partnership with a local Baltimore runner, Tom York, in support of the monumental MS Run the U.S. Relay. It covers a staggering 3,260 miles across the U.S. The relay stands as a testament to resilience and dedication in the fight against multiple sclerosis. Partnering with Tom, the first Maryland native to participate in this relay, Heavy Seas aims to amplify awareness and fundraising efforts for MS research while extending support to individuals impacted by MS. Driven by his deep personal connection to MS, as both his wife and sister battle with the disease, Tom will embark on the physical feat of running 151 miles in 6 days from Cayuga Falls, Ohio, to Brookville, Pennsylvania in July of this year. Tom's participation in the MS Run the U.S. Relay requires raising $10,000. So in solidarity with his mission and fundraising endeavors, Heavy Seas is going to host a series of fundraising efforts in its tap room located in Halethorpe, Maryland, from March through July. During these events, Heavy Seas will contribute a portion of proceeds from every pint sold to Tom's cause. The kickoff event was this past Thursday, March 7th, from 4 to 9 p.m., and subsequent events will occur biweekly until July 11th. So every 2 weeks, they will have an event where a dollar from every pint will go to this fund, and they're hoping to raise 10 grand. So the kickoff event just took place. The next one is March 21st, then it's April 4th and the 18th, May 2nd and the 16th, and May 30th, three times that month, June 13th and the 27th, and then July 11th is the last one. So if you go into Heavy Seas on those days and you buy a pint of beer, a dollar from every pint that is sold will help Tom's cause. This is pretty awesome. Now, for more information about it, msruntheus.org is the website for more information. And to stay updated on the partnership between Tom and Heavy Seas Beer, you can follow at Heavy Seas Beer on social media or just visit heavyseasbeer.com. This is a really cool thing, and thanks to Heavy Seas for putting this together. Again, a dollar from every pint on those weeks during the months of March through July will help out Tom's cause, which is pretty, pretty cool. And then finally, one of the granddaddy of all beers is back. Firestone Walker has released the 2024 edition of Parabola. Parabola, a proprietary imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels. It first came out, the first one was back in 2005 for this one. And let me tell you something. This might be my favorite beer from Firestone Walker. There are a lot of different beers that Firestone Walker puts out from the stout category that is unbelievable. But Parabola is the one for me. If I see it, I got to buy it. It's awesome. 12-ounce bottle, It's a little expensive, but it is worth every single sip of it. Pour it in a glass, you let it warm up, and just enjoy it. I mean, really enjoy it. It is available for a limited time at the brewery locations across the Firestone Walker Markets. I have to try and find it in New Jersey because I absolutely need a bottle of this. Because it's been a couple of years since I've had one. I think I still have one in the basement from a couple of years ago, but I haven't. And I have a bunch of Firestone Walker stuff I really need to sort of refrigerate and open up one night. A beast of a beer, Parabola is. Intense flavors of black cherry, dark chocolate, vanilla, and roast coffee. Yet each annual release also bears its own subtle imprint. For this latest edition, they've aged the beer for a year in 12-year Elijah Craig barrels. These coveted bourbon barrels impart signature notes of charred oak, caramel, and cinnamon, taking the Parabola experience to new heights. Folks, trust me, if you see a bottle of this in the stores anywhere across the country, do yourself a favor, buy it. You will not be disappointed. It is a delicious beer. It is definitely something to be savored, 100%. When we come back after a short break, it's going to be more news and notes from around the beer world. Some local stuff that's happening in New Jersey, anniversary party for 902 Brewing, and a bunch of other stuff. And then, of course, we'll get to Johnny Ive again, the co-founder and lead brewer behind Nyclo Beer out of Brooklyn, New York, in our third segment of the program. This is the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. All right, welcome back to the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. A little wrong is right from Accepts Metal Heart, which actually came out this past week back in 1985. Next year will be the 40th anniversary of that album. Oof, unbelievable. All right, so coming up in 10 minutes, Johnny Ifergan, the co-founder and lead brewer behind Nyclo Beer out of Brooklyn, New York, is going to join me to talk about how the brewery started, why they only pour their beer out of lucre pull faucets, and a lot more. A great interview. This goes a little long, so bear with us, but some great knowledge from Johnny, and I, for one, cannot wait to get over to Nyclo and try some more stuff from him. His brown ale was amazing, but they have a lot of other good stuff there, and looking forward to getting over to the brewery in Brooklyn very, very soon. But we've got a lot of stuff to get to before we take a break here. So this will be a short segment here. 902 Brewing in Jersey City, they're celebrating their ninth anniversary. That takes place Friday, March 22nd, 6 p.m. They're inviting everyone to the party to mark the occasion. They're dropping their new release, It Was All a Dream, Pacifica variant. There'll also be music, food trucks, plenty of beer to go around. They'll have more details as they get closer to the event. Check out their Facebook page, 902 Brewing, for all the details. Eskerhart Artesian Ales, formerly the High Rail location in Highbridge, New Jersey, is now officially licensed by the state of New Jersey. Well, it means they can actually start brewing. They will have to wait until some beer is actually ready. They're diligently brewing a beer, which they've already started as of a couple of days ago. As excited as we are, we don't want to announce a specific opening date just yet, although we are confident in saying that our opening day should be in late April, early May, pending no unforeseen circumstances. Please continue to keep an eye out as we will hopefully formally announce an opening date at the end of this month. Cheers to you all for your support and patience. We cannot wait to open our doors to you. And the place looks great. Obviously, that late April, early May sounds about right. Takes about 3 weeks to get an IPA rolling, about six if you want to do a lager right, maybe 8 weeks. So that sounds about right, late April, for when they would open early May. Award-winning Allagash Brewing Company, getting into the summer spirit, the release of their new seasonal beer, Surf House. It's rolling out across the brand's entire 20-state distribution footprint. Surf House is a 5.5% ABV lager crafted for easygoing relaxation. It's brewed to be super crisp and drinkable, dry hop for subtle tropical notes. It'll be available in 6-packs and 12-packs of 12-ounce cans. Surf House also marks the debut of Allagash's first ever true rotating seasonal beer lineup, the House Series. The new cohesive lineup will also include Haunted House, a hoppy dark ale, and Ski House, a winter white ale, that are coming later this year. Good to see Allagash doing some different things. Obviously, their beers are fantastic, but not a lot of variation. And so they are doing a lot more variation now, which is great. Got to keep up with the times. Speaking of keeping up with the times, Stone Brewing has announced a new year-round Pilsner that is available right now throughout Southern California. It's a 4.7% ABV crisp, crushable beer, and as they say, it's a Pilsner for the people. Stone Pilsner, easy drinking, clean with notes of orange, pear, and watermelon, light-bodied with a mild breadiness and sweet corn chip finished. It was first brewed at Stone Brewing World Bistro and Gardens at Liberty Station, which I've been to. Great place. Head brewer Chris Ketchum wanted a year-round draft offering for the bistro to satisfy the request of fans for something laid back and light. As it turns out, the demand reached beyond the bistro, so the team filled the big tanks too. Ketchum explains, the beer is clean and crushable, a light touch of cashmere and Vista hops for good measure. Both come out of the public breeding program, and we thought it fitting for our American Pilsner to be made with all American public hops. It's available in six packs of 12-ounce cans and in kegs. I was trying to go back to when was the last time that Stone made a Pilsner? And the last time they made a Pilsner was when they did the beer for Metallica. That's the last time. That's, I mean, we're going back, what, got to be four, five, six years at least? Beyond Night, I think, was the name of the Pilsner. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Fantastic. Came in a box that played Enter Sandman, which I thought was so cool that they sent me. I may still have that box somewhere. The battery might be dead, but I may still have that box somewhere. Anyway. Great stuff. So glad to see that Stone has a Pilsner out. And what's cool is if you do go to the Stone, if you go to the World Bistro and Gardens at Liberty Station, or if you go to their main hub in Escondido, they do have Stone beers that are unavailable anywhere else, which is really cool. They had a couple at Liberty Station the last time I was out there. Fantastic. All right. And finally, Red Tank Brewing has sold in Red Bank, and Five Dimes Brewing is going to be moving in. The statement from Red Tank, they made us an offer we couldn't refuse. Dear valued customers and community members, after many years of serving our community, Red Tank Brewing has been acquired by our dear friends at Five Dimes Brewing. It's an offer we simply couldn't refuse. We believe it will bring new opportunities and growth for our beloved brewery. Our last day of business was Sunday, March 4th. Stay tuned for the Five Dimes Brewing grand opening announcement. So Red Tank is now closed in Red Bank. First and foremost, we want to express our gratitude to each and every one of you for your unwavering support throughout the years. Been an incredible journey. We're humbled by the love and loyalty you have shown. We're so blessed with the perseverance and the support of our amazing staff. Your continued commitment and support played a vital role in keeping our doors open, and for that, we are eternally grateful. They go on, John and Lovina Akara, about cheers to new beginnings. That is great. Good for them. I could finally say it. I've known about this for a while. I'm so glad that Five Dimes is going in, and I'm hearing another brewery may be going in, too. Details on that when we get to it. When we come back after a short break, Johnny Eifergan, co-founder, lead brewer behind Nightglow Beer out of Brooklyn, New York, will join me. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, as we continue on, Accept Metal Heart, that album released back in 1985 by these German rockers. That's Living for Tonight, and came out 38 years ago this week, something like that. I don't know. My math is usually bad, so don't quote me on that. 39, because next year would be 40 years. Amazing. And Udo Dirkschneider hasn't been with the band for close to 35 years. So there you go. Got to see them once with Dio, opening for Dio at Madison Square Garden, a phenomenal show, and then got to see Udo solo back in 2017 over at the Starland Ballroom, where he did an entire set of all Accept hits. But my guest tonight, the co-owner and lead brewer for a spot in Brooklyn that not only makes great craft beer, but delicious coffee as well. Oh, there's a brewery in New Jersey that does that, but this is a little different here, what these guys do here in Brooklyn. Now, they're open every day at 11 a.m. For more info, just head over to nightglowbeer.com, and night is spelled N-I-T-E, not N-I-G-H-T. It is N-I-T-E, glowbeer.com. Let me welcome onto the Craft Beer Cast for the first time, Johnny Eifergan. Johnny, how are you?
Good. How's it going, Al? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you at the kickoff to New York City Beer Week a few weeks back. You're a brewery and a coffee shop. How did this whole journey start for you?
Oh, well, it's funny. Funny because of the opening tidbit with the German band. So actually, my brother Tom and I our musicians, number one.
Okay.
So we were in a band. We toured a lot, and then we kind of split ways. He joined a band in California. I was still in Chicago. We were touring all over the country, Europe. He fell in love with coffee. I fell in love with beer while we were touring. And he started Dayglo Coffee in Los Angeles 6 years ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of fell in love with the whole third wave coffee scene. He was carrying a lot of international roasters from all over the world, people that he'd met from touring. And things were going really well. And he expanded in the Los Angeles area and West Hollywood. And I was in Chicago, still trying to live the dream with the band.
Right.
And, you know, had my own kind of irons in the fire with the brewing scene. And when, you know, we kind of just, I was like, hey, you got to open up Dayglo in Chicago. And he did. And, you know, then, you know, a space I was with, it didn't work out. And he asked me if I wanted to start Nightglo as a sort of an extension to the coffee business. And I thought that was such a great idea.
Right.
At the time, there was Uppers and Downers Festival hosted by Michael Kaiser, Good Beer Hunting, and Ian from Intelligentsia, a big, big roaster, big name in Chicago at the mm-hmm. time. So, you know, we already kind of felt like there was a lot of synergy with coffee and beer, just both from agricultural, you know, from the very origins of it, and right. till, you know, till the product gets roasted and made. So, yeah, we started Nightglo in Chicago. We were contract brewing at some friends' breweries of mine and getting the word out. I was full-time salesman, full-time everything, just running around trying to get the beer out.
Sure.
And it was doing really well. It became pretty clear that, you know, we needed our own space just to kind of let people experience our brand. Unfortunately, though, I guess fortunately for Chicago, being such an amazing craft beer scene, I mean, there's
yes
300-plus breweries in just Chicagoland. And so it was pretty crowded, definitely really hard to find an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't have the funding or resources to take over a large, you know, space. So we just kind of decided maybe it was time to look outside of the city. We looked in the suburbs, and then we kind of thought, you know, the brands just feel more like they need to be in the city. Dayglo had coffee subscriptions. So every month, you know, you can sign up for a coffee subscription, get a few bags a month. And it just so happened that New York City was the second largest subscription base out of LA. So we just kind of figured, hey, let's just poke our heads in New York City, see what happens. And we found a space and, you know, now here we are, we're in Bushwick and, you know, we, definitely still family owned, still small business, you know, took over a space that needed a lot of TLC.
Right.
It had a 20-barrel system in there that was just, you know, just taking over the whole, you know,
sure.
most of the space. So, yeah, to answer your question, we just kind of fell in love with the idea of really capturing the synergy between coffee and beer in a space, in a physical space that people could experience and enjoy both brands. And, you know, we broke ground last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, a lot of cosmetic fixes, sold the brew house that was there, put in a much smaller brew house, a 3-barrel system, 7-barrel fermenters, and something more capable of doing the kind of beers we wanted to make. And yeah, we launched the coffee shop on my birthday last August and just kind of, you know, did the best we could to raise more money and get the brewery site open. And finally, about a few weeks ago, we were able to do a grand opening and launch the whole space. And yeah, it's been great.
So the beer has only been around for you for about a month, month and a half. But one of the great things that I've learned is that all mm-hmm. of your beer is poured exclusively through Luke Pour taps. Why did you decide to do all of your taps in that way?
So, yeah, because... well, actually, some reasons were more just kind of like functional. So we are so incredibly detail-oriented. We approach coffee in such a focused, intentional way. And knowing that we had such a reputation to uphold with the coffee service and the way we pull shots, espresso and everything, I knew it was really equally as important to ensure our beer service was up to that same standard. And just having support from Luker Taps and my previous spot in Chicago, and having experience with those, and seeing the renaissance of how that's finally come to the States, and a lot of breweries that I look up to have used them and successfully and gotten great feedback from that. I thought it was actually kind of a really good decision to use all Luker faucets because, one, there's so much that hasn't been explored with not just lagers but other beer styles on those faucets that I thought could be really exciting, thinking of, you know, the popular hazy IPAs, the sours, you know, stouts, all that could really benefit from that style of pour. And then another thing was just more just because we wanted to have the same staff running the bar, whether it was for coffee or beer. And baristas are actually used to steaming milk with the wand submerged in the milk. So we thought they would naturally, it would naturally come easier to them to, you know, pour beer out of the Luker because you're also submerging the beer wand into the glass.
Right.
So just kind of made sense.
No, because that's the first time that I've heard that answer from somebody about why doing the slow pour, that you're, as a coffee, as a barista, you're used to making it a certain way, and it's the same, it's sort of the same thing when you're doing it with beer with a slow pour. That's a great answer that I've not heard before. And I don't want to run out of time here, but we're talking with co-owner and lead brewer Johnny Ifrigan of Night Glow Beer, not only craft beer, but coffee as well. That's the Day Glow side. They're open every day at 11 a.m. For more info, head to nightglowbeer.com. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. But I want to stick with the taps and foam for a moment. For those that don't know, why is foam so important in beer?
Well, so foam is so important because, one, it's protecting your beer from getting oxidized. So that layer of foam is actually protecting the beer that's underneath from you know, getting oxidized, starting to taste like wet paper, wet cardboard. That's like scientifically number one, the reason why foam is so important. Two, believe it or not, foam is full of proteins, polyphenols, like volatile compounds from the hops. So a lot of the aroma gets pulled out. I mean, those CO2 bubbles are coming up. They're pulling out a lot of those volatile compounds. And so it's also a sensory thing. It's very important because a lot of the aroma that you get is in that foam, similar to when you're, you know, drinking a espresso, that crema on top, you know, is so important. It's a lot of that flavor comes through the aroma there. And, you know, when you talk about foam, though, there is bad foam. Just like there's bad drivers and good drivers, there's bad foam and there's good foam. Bad foam, you know, you see a lot of breakup in the bubbles. There's a lot of, you know, inconsistencies in the bubble. That's the foam we're used to. You know, it's just the forced carbonation, unfortunately, doesn't lend to nice micro foam. So we do prefer also to naturally carbonate our beers. We spun them because it's, you know, not only is it part of the purity law, but we also, it really does enhance the experience. Now, the foam is also, it's visually, it's an important thing. The lacing in the glass, just like with wine, you know, you have the legs, like that's another, just like, it's just like a really pleasing thing to the eye. It's pleasing to the experience. If you were to pour a beer normally, and then you pour a beer, like a smooth pour, like a Chladinka, out of the Luker, and you just, not only visually, the Luker pour, just, it looks like you're looking at like a really creamy, frothy, delicious milk, kind of like almost meringue-y quality. The other version, the regular way, just kind of, it doesn't look very appetizing. So visually, that's already the difference. Two, when you actually drink the beer, the foam that you get from the Luker is really like creamy, sweet, wet. It has the same texture and feeling as when you're drinking a really well made latte. It just, yeah, that crema really comes through.
Right.
And it's all about texture. And, you know, and then, of course, having that lacing and having that kind of throughout the experience, the drinking experience, think of Guinness, you know, think of beers that, you know, that do have that, you know, it just makes just a better experience the whole time you're drinking. So
right.
Foam is so important, and I'm glad that consumers are finally seeing the difference and appreciating that. And yeah.
and speaking of which, for New York City Beer Week, you hosted a milk pour party at Niclo. Now, how was that received by your guests?
Oh, people loved it. It's definitely a wild idea. You know, we took a very traditional German Kolsch service and kind of flipped it on its head. You know, instead of just serving Kolsch all night, we served milk pours, Mlieko style pours, and we just kind of varied the beer the whole night. So instead of one beer, we kept changing the beer people were drinking throughout the night. So people were really excited and interested because for them it was, you know, it was not just about the milk pour itself, but also about how different styles of beers would come across in that style.
Cool. That's cool. Now, we're talking with co-owner and lead brewer Johnny Ifrigan of Niclo Beer. They're based out of Brooklyn and Bushwick. Not only craft beer, but coffee as well. They're open every day at 11 a.m. For more info, you can head to Niclo Beer. That's N-I-T-E, glowbeer.com. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. I got about a minute or two left here, Johnny. That brown ale that you served me at New York City Beer Week with that amazing coffee was just unbelievable. I wanted to drink more of that over and over, but there was so much stuff to try there. Now, you obviously source the coffee to put in that beer that goes into not only the coffee that you serve daily, but you source this coffee from all over the world. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
All right.
And the
Dayglo spot. Now, let me just, so I have visually, I can see this here. When you go to Niclo, Dayglo is in the same building. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, we share the same space. The coffee shop, the bar, everything we do is all in one space.
Okay. And then what's the eventual goal here? Is it to open up other Niclo spots elsewhere? Is it to just keep what you're doing in this small confined space, you know, just like that? And hey, if you want our beer, you need to come to us. Is there a spot where you might expand on the beer end of it, you know, where you're opening up places elsewhere? Or are you going to just keep it here in Brooklyn for now?
So, you know, craft beer is experiencing kind of a big shift in things right now. And for us, we support New York State Farmers. So we work with Valley Malt and New York Craft Malt and the Hop Guild. All our beers are New York ingredients. You know, the yeast is American lager yeast, but it's not a New York yeast. But most of what we do is all New York, and so it's really important for us to maintain that no matter where we go or where we end up. So we definitely love the idea of just being small, nimble here in Brooklyn and having people come to us to experience the brands together. And, you know, there's nothing like that. And, you know, we do have 4-packs of our beers available to purchase to go. So that's also a nice thing. I think there's definitely a future for us. We're talking about maybe, you know, a Los Angeles location would be really fun and using California agriculture ingredients for those beers, even though they might be the same recipes, to really kind of get people to really start thinking about terroir and beer again. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you're drinking the Pilsner, same recipe, maybe same system brewed on, but it's New York ingredients versus California ingredients. And, you know, it's just kind of like trying to shed light on, you know, how that can affect the product. And not that one is, you know, bad and one is good. It's just they're different, right?
No, totally. And totally.
Subtle nuances. So I think that's definitely something we were interested in as far as expanding goes. It would be fun to definitely get our beer into some very, like, you know, hyper craft beer focused locations in New York City where people would appreciate what we're doing. There's definitely a lot of opportunities there, but we're just starting small, nimble, and hopefully things will kind of grow organically
for us. I love it. I love it. I cannot wait to come in and try some of these beers. I love that brown ale. I am sure I'm going to love the other stuff as well. My guest has been co-owner and lead brewer Johnny Ifrigan of Niclo Beer. They're based out of Brooklyn and Bushwick. Not only craft beer, but coffee too. The coffee side of it, of course, is called Dayglo. They're open every day at 11 a.m. For more info, head to glowbeer.com. Johnny, thanks so much for joining me this evening. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That was great.
You got it. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Yeah. See, like I said, I love music. It's so funny. Welcome back. Suds and Duds coming up in just a moment on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. I almost forgot the call letters there. That is the title track from the Accept album Metal Heart, which came out this week back in 1985. Real quick, before we dive into Suds and Duds, it's one of the things that I love about music. The See Here Now festival bands were released earlier this week. Tickets went on sale. They sold out in minutes. I'm not going this year. Some good acts. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band closing out the show on Sunday night. You got the Black Crowes, Norah Jones, a bunch of different acts that are going to be there. Just not enough for me to plunk down the money for that event. I would have liked to have seen a couple of, I don't want to say better bands, but bands that I'm into. I'm not going to listen. I've seen Bruce plenty of times. He's a wonderful act. And I tell people all the time, go see him at least once. He's amazing. I don't care what your politics are. Go see the guy. He's a tremendous performer. I mean, 3 hours a night. Now, he's not going to do 3 hours at this show. Could be maybe an hour, hour and a half at best. But, you know, Bruce, Jersey Shore, Stone Pony turning 50. I get it. The event in Ocean City, though, Maryland, a couple weeks after this event, is in September, is going to be much better. Better bands, more spread out over 3 days. I don't know. I'm glad I'm saving my money. Let's put it that way. All right. Let's dive into Suds and Duds before we run out of time here. Music is a great thing. I love it. I just got tickets to see Willie Nelson and who else? Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan, and Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. I want to see Plant and Krauss. I didn't get to see them last year. So I'm going more for that and Dylan than I am for Willie Nelson. I'm not a big Willie Nelson fan. I may stick around for a song or two, and then I'm leaving. But, you know, it was worth the money to plunk down to see Alison Krauss, even if they and Robert Plant, even if they only play, you know, 8 songs. It's worth it for me. That, to me, is worth the price. All right, let's dive in. One of my favorite places to go and drink is Paragon Tap and Table, and one of my favorite bars to go and drink at. Why? Because it's close to my house, which is nice. Tropical Hot Burst by Brick City. This is a juicy and hazy beer that is fantastic, delicious. Love that they have Brick City consistently on tap and in cans, by the way. Mike has done such a great job of you know, doing cans and getting cans in of different beers. He's on his way out. He's leaving in April. He's going to go up, I think he's going up to the Vermont area, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe Craig is going to be taking over. They're probably going to bring in another bar manager, you know, to kind of run things and pick out beers and stuff, which is, you know, and if they don't, they don't. I mean, but, you know, good stuff. Great place. The food is awesome. Chef Juan is just knocks it out of the park all the time. All right, enough. I'll get off my soapbox there. Leaf Litter by Oak Flower. Yam Love. Just a delicious yam beer. This I had back in February. Fantastic. Really good stuff. The guys at Oak Flower, Colin and Chris, doing a wonderful job. Then this was the one. I didn't realize they had this on Nitro at Paragon, Old Rasputin by North Coast Brewing. I've talked enough about North Coast Brewing in the last few months. I was really excited that they actually had a Nitro. It's probably sitting in the basement. Smooth and boozy. Gotta love it. A fantastic beer. I mean, the thing looks like motor oil. And North Coast has been doing it, excuse me, for a number of years, and they definitely know how to knock things out of the park. Then I was down at Source Brewing back in, when was this? Yeah, I guess it was middle of February. I was down at Source. I was picking up some stuff, and I decided, you know, the last few times I've been at Source, I've run in, I've grabbed my beer, and I've left because I've had things going on. And so I just didn't have time to sit and have a beer. Well, this time around, I said, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to have a beer. And so I had the O'Behave, which is a banging nitro English mild, smooth, creamy, delicious beer. I did not get this when it came out in cans. I was very happy that they still had this on tap when I was there. And then because one of the owners, Phil, had texted me and said, he saw that I had posted the Source beer. He said, you still there? And I said, yeah, I could be if... you know, if you're on your way. He says, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I said, I'll go grab another beer. So I grabbed a Grip and Rip, another beer that I missed out on for cans. Spot on Kolsch, Luke Pour, Slow Pour, so good, delicious. And Phil and I had a great conversation. A lot of good things coming down the pike from Source over the next, I would say in the short term, there's some great stuff coming from Source. Long term, even better. And I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to get too much into it. Great beers, some different options coming soon, and a new place to eat. Not in the Garden State, though, but cool stuff. As we get closer to things happening, I will let you know. I am really excited for what the future holds for Source. And it just furthers my belief. I've made no secret of this. Source is one of my favorite beers in New Jersey. They always do great stuff. I know they have their critics. I get it, but I love everything that they do. I don't think I've ever had a bad beer from Source. But further than that, it's not just about the beer. It's the experience. When you go there, it's beautiful. They're constantly changing things and expanding and doing stuff. The side of the yard and the backyard, they really took advantage of it during the pandemic. And that was part of the plan. The original plan of Source was not to can a lot of beers. It was we want people here and walking around. And the pandemic delayed them from doing that. They shifted to a can model and started pumping their beers out in cans. It worked. They got some distro. Things changed. You have to be willing in this business. This is the reason why we're seeing so many businesses and why it seems like every week I'm talking about how businesses are going out of business. You have to be able to adapt to the changing times. Some can, some can't. Some are locked into a certain thing. It's why Almentry is closing. It's why certain places have closed. You know, Almentry locked into a, you know, contract brand. Well, if you're not getting enough people to contract your beer or contract your beer making abilities, it's tough to make a living. You know, It's just the way it goes. So there's a major issue with that. But what Source does, they continue to adapt. They continue to change and not stay stagnant until it's too late. I love that. And Phil is a guy who thinks outside the box constantly. And I love that too. I wish I had that ability. I have a little bit of it, not a lot. There's still a little bit of fear there. Sometimes you got to let go of that fear. I'm trying to learn that. Even in my 50s, I'm still trying to learn that. Anyway, Saison DuPont by Brasserie DuPont. Solid farmhouse ale. Excellent, delicious. Thank you, Tom Funk, for the recommendation. That was awesome. Fruitinator. This was one that Phil had given me to try. Figs and cherries. Oh, man. Yes, please. Fabulous beer. Really, really good. Surprised. I don't know why I didn't pick that up when it came out. I think because there were other stuff there that week that I just didn't feel like taking the ride down to go get. Doppelbangers, Gathering Clouds by Brick City. This is a collab between Brick City and Twin Elephant. Oh my God, this was an awesome collaboration. Creamy, delicious, love this. Space Dream by Other Half. I picked this up as part of a 4-pack that they were doing for the Super Bowl. $5 a can at Paragon. It was awesome. Got some great beers. Nicely done, slight bite on this one. Loving it. And then finally, finished off the evening, that night that I was there with Cafe Noir by Source. Now, let me tell you something. Slim 12-ounce can. In no way does this drink like an 11% beer. Enormous hit of coffee off the nose and on the palate. An amazing beer. I wish I had bought two. And you know what happened? A couple weeks later, they did a pistachio stout. So I got that bottle. And they still had four packs of Cafe Noir left. Got myself another four pack. That's a great beer. If you see it on tap there and you're looking for a nightcap, that's the one to get, folks. Unbelievable. If you like coffee, you're going to love this beer. My folks, we are out of time on this program. My thanks to everyone involved in the show, including my guest, Johnny Eifergan, co-founder, lead brewer behind Nightglow Beer out of Brooklyn, New York. Cannot wait to stop over there and have a few more of his pours. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back on the Joe Piscopo Show Monday at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.